How's everybody on this beautiful day? Who's not good? You're not good? We can pray for you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. My remote. Oh, there it is. Okay. Over the years, I've been privileged to know a number of authors, and it is a tremendous privilege to be able to know the author of a book and to interact with him or her over their ideas. Sometimes you've got questions, sometimes you need clarification, sometimes you're just wondering what about this and so forth, and that is a tremendous privilege. Now, the ones that are in blue there, I'm not likely to ever talk to again. Those were seminary professors, and seminary professors like to write books, and they like to make them mandatory for their classes so they can increase their sales. But it was a tremendous privilege. The other ones I could probably, probably arrange a time with to interact over one of their books. But what we're excited about this morning is the fact that we as Christians have the tremendous privilege of knowing the author of this book, having him alongside of us, and having him teach us and explain his book to us. And that's what we want to focus on today. We want to figure out how can we increase the amount of aha moments that I get for myself from the Word of God. How can I be a little less dependent on other people to spoon-feed the Word of God to me? How can I, when I read it, actually get something out of it, understand how it applies to my life, and so forth? And so that's what we want to go to work on today. And that is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And there's many truths that are revealed in the Scriptures about the Holy Spirit, maybe 1,000 truths. I want to just draw your attention to three of them that are relevant to our topic today. And these would be found in your sermon notes if you want to follow along in that way. First of all, the Holy Spirit resides in or lives in every single believer. If a person's a true believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in that person. Jesus said it this way. He said, "I am soon going to leave you." He was talking to his apostles. And he said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another paraclete, another one to stand right there beside you, just like I'm standing right beside you now. After I go away, there's going to be another person who's going to be divine. He's going to stand right there beside you. And he'll be with you forever." I'm talking about the Spirit of Truth, Jesus said. And he lives with you and will be in you. And we could take this to be just Jesus talking to his apostles if it weren't for other scriptures that indicate that he was also talking to peons like you and me, ordinary people sitting in pews in churches in that first century. Because, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "What, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you?" And so that's truth number one, that we have the Holy Spirit living in and with us. But truth number two is that the Holy Spirit is the ultimate author of the Scriptures. Now, we know that about 40-some individuals dipped their pens in ink and wrote on parchment to produce the 66 books of the Bible as we know them today. But these individuals, while they were writing down their thoughts, while they were writing with their own unique writing styles, reflecting their own personalities, this whole project of putting together the Word of God in written form so that we could have it, see it, read it, study it, understand it, obey it, this was all a project of the Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate author of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired of God. And it tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, exactly which member of the triunity of God was primarily responsible for that project of putting together these Scriptures, and that is the Holy Spirit. "For no Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for revelation from God never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so you can see that the Holy Spirit oversaw the formation of the Scriptures. He is the ultimate author of the Scriptures. But the third truth that we want to see is that He is also the ultimate teacher of the Scriptures. We read in John chapter 14, verse 26, and once again, if there weren't other references, we could think that this just applied to the apostles. That would be a possibility. But there Jesus said to His apostles and to us that the Counselor, the Paraclete, the one that's going to stand alongside you, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. But we know this also applies to us because of verses like 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, where it says, "As for you, the anointing," referring to the Holy Spirit, all commentators agree, "the anointing that you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you the difference between truth and error." In other words, the Holy Spirit is such an outstanding teacher of the believer that there is a sense in which we don't need anyone else. And I know that I've encountered people over the years who have thought that if it's just me and my Bible and the Holy Spirit, that's all I need. I don't need pastors. I don't need commentators. I don't need Bible teachers. That's all I need. Me, the Holy Spirit, and my Bible. And, quite honestly, I was one of those people in my seventh year of faith in Christ. And my pastor at the church that I was going to at the time caught wind of this, and he challenged me. He said, "You know, George, you're a perfect recipe for a brand new cult." And then I started getting intrigued with the idea of the Cole cult. That would be really a cool-sounding name, wouldn't it? But I realized where he was going, and he said, "Do you honestly think that you're going to take your Bible and God's going to explain it all to you, and you're going to have a corner on the market of truth, and all these scholars and all this research that has been done and all this study and all these devoted people to God that the Holy Spirit hasn't taught them anything over the years, He's just going to teach it to you?" Well, I mean, I felt really, dumb after that, because it really was an unbalanced position that I was taking. And since then, I've met several others that have had that position, and I've been able to share some of those thoughts with them, including a verse of Scripture like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, that says, you know what? The body of Christ isn't going to mature unless it has human teachers involved in it that are gifted and called of God. For example, it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And without those human teachers that are gifted and called of God, the body of Christ is not going to be built up. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. There's this priorities that are kind of listed there. It says, "And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, and third, teachers, and then follow the rest of the spiritual gifts." Now, it shows the importance of teaching. All the spiritual gifts are important, but there are certain gifts that are more important by virtue of their influence than other gifts. Our family has a family friend who used to sit at our dinner table and challenge us with questions like, "How would you rather die? Would you rather die through this horrible method or that horrible method?" And you would sit there and think, "Well, I don't want to go either of those ways, you know." No, "Which would you rather?" And, so I've got one of those questions for you today. Which would you rather lose? Would you rather lose a finger from your hand or to have your heart taken out and thrown away? If anyone said heart, I'd be interested in seeing you after the service. I just want to understand you, you know. So, yes, of course, certain body parts are more important than other body parts. And even so, teaching is, as you can see, a very important gift within the church. But we have to hold these truths of human teachers and the Holy Spirit being our teacher in good balance. In fact, I know what each of you are going to be doing on June 15th. You don't know that yet, but I know that. You're going to be watching this crazy dude. His name is Nick Walenda, and he is going to walk over a 2-inch tightrope over Niagara Falls. And you're either going to be in Niagara Falls with the masses of people watching, or you're going to be watching it on ABC television. And maybe you'll be like me and be too scared to watch a guy do that, because my palms get sweaty just thinking about it. But no, this guy, this crazy dude, he's going to walk over the falls on a 2-inch tightrope. But I was thinking about that tightroping illustration, because all biblical truth must be held, this is not good. All biblical truth must be held in balance. If it's not held in balance, we can fall into error very easily. Take, for example, the health and wealth gospel. All right? While you're sitting here in church this morning, all over your television sets, all over the world, there's pumping out these preachers, and they're very compelling. They're quoting scripture. They're filled with conviction. They're telling you that Jesus wants you wealthy and Jesus wants you healthy. And that if you're not wealthy and healthy, then there's something in your faith that is lacking that is preventing you from experiencing those things. Now, and they quote scripture left and right. But the problem is their scriptures ignore other scriptures and they're off balance and they have fallen into error. We could do the same thing with every teaching in the scripture. Take, for example, ask whatever you want, and it will be given to you. All right? Well, we can go a lot of ways with that, couldn't we? But what did the scriptures teach? The scriptures teach that all things were created by Jesus Christ and for his purposes. That we're not here to serve our own purposes. It's not like God exists to give us whatever we want, but God will give us whatever we need in order to sustain our lives and to carry out the purposes for which he has us here on the earth. That's a balanced position. And even so, a balanced position in terms of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is, I will listen to my human teachers. I will keep my thinking cap on. I will be like the Berean Christians in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where it says that the Apostle Paul presented the Word of God to them, and they searched the Scriptures diligently to see whether or not what he was telling them was true. You know, I'll test everything. I'll chuck what doesn't seem right. I'll hold on to what seems right, and so forth. But ultimately, I'm looking to the Holy Spirit to be my ultimate teacher. And then in that way, we keep this whole thing in balance. Now, Rick Warren, in one of the video sessions that we've already seen, said that illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's Word and how it applies to my life. And we as believers can thank God that we have the involvement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But it is possible that you're not a believer, and therefore you're going to the Word of God, and you're not seeing the truths that God wants you to see there. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus said that, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, saved, converted, regenerated, whatever word you want to use. Now, usually when we see that verse, we've heard it preached in an evangelistic context, and usually our perception is that unless a person is born again, they're not going to go to heaven. But according to the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of God is a present reality that will continue on forever into the future. And it's this kingdom that's invisible that runs concurrent with all of the visible kingdoms of the world, all of the kingdoms of human beings. But the only ones who can see that reality in this world are those who have been born again. Because as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I mean, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is at the very center of this universe, that this universe doesn't make sense until he is properly positioned there in our minds, and everything revolves around him. But the only ones that can see, but unbelievers can't see that because there's scales over their eyes that need to be removed. But then look at this verse. If we look at it literally, such as in the English Standard Version, it says that the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The New International Version explains paraphrastically, kind of paraphrases. It goes beyond the literal words to say what the natural man is, and they've got it right, but the words they chose are that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. This is where we discover the things that come from the Spirit of God, but the person who is not possessed by the Holy Spirit, who is not a true believer in Christ, doesn't have the Holy Spirit, that person cannot appreciate the things that are spiritually discerned in the Word of God. In fact, they are foolishness to them. And you know the difference. When you go out into your neighborhood, when you go into your workplace, when you go into your school, and you don't talk about spiritual things exactly the same way you do with other people who see those things for themselves. I mean, you have to present it a little bit differently, because we know that out in the world, so many of the spiritual realities that are given to us in the Word of God are seen as absolute foolishness, just as it says, for they are foolishness to him. Why? Because there's a blindness, because the Holy Spirit is needed in order to overcome that blindness. Just tell you my story just a little bit, is that I was always raised in a God-respecting home. There's only been a few hours of my life that I've doubted the existence of God. And for some reason, I don't know that I always saw the Bible as the Word of God, but I always had and was taught a high respect for the Bible. And I always had a certain level of awareness that I was going to be accountable to God. Even when I was in seventh grade, I used to write on my hand here, CHR, Christian. In other words, go out and live like a Christian, as I was trying to live out the will of God. But then at the age of, and at that time, I used to read the Bible. And I would look for those high moral standards that were presented in the Bible. I would be fascinated by many of the stories, because the Bible has many fascinating stories. I would sometimes be caught up with some of the poetic beauty of it. And I wasn't a consistent Bible reader, but I read quite a bit before I was a believer. But then, at the age of 16, I received Christ as Savior. I put my trust in Him for my eternal destiny instead of trusting in myself. And something dramatic happened immediately. And that was that when I started reading the Word of God, I started understanding it. All of a sudden, it started making more and more sense. And I, at the time, had a job where I was able to read the Bible. This is almost how crazy of a start I got off to in the Christian life. I would read the Bible a couple hours a day, and the Holy Spirit would be teaching me things. And I would go to church on Sundays, and these people who knew that I was a new believer, they would be amazed sometimes at how rapidly I was gaining this understanding of the Word of God. And so the things about that the Scriptures teach about unbelievers not being able to really understand the Word and believers being able to understand the word, these are things that are just so real to me because not only do I have it on the authority of the word of God, but I have actually experienced it in my life. And so the Holy Spirit, he is at work in we who are believers. He is at work teaching us. And it happens automatically by a work of God's grace. But there are certain things that we can do that can increase our level of understanding, that can increase the Holy Spirit's teaching of our hearts. And one of those things that we can do is we can pray for illumination, or we can pray for enlightenment. We see this in the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. I think that's Ephesians 3, but I'll get back to that later. I think I've got it wrong there. But this is a prayer that Paul prayed. Now, we're learning different Bible study methods in this 40 days in the Word. This week, we're going to study the paraphrase it method. And the paraphrase it is my favorite method of Bible study. It's something that I've been doing for years. I have large portions of the Bible paraphrased. I call it the King Cole version. This is from the King Cole version, all right? I have recently heard a great report about your strong trust in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Ever since I heard that report, I can't stop praising God for his work of saving grace in your lives. I can't help but think about you when I pray, and in my prayers, I keep asking God to do three things for you. First, I ask for the Holy Spirit to make known God to you so that you may get to know him better and better. Second, I ask him to make the glorious future aspects of your salvation so real to your hearts. And third, I ask him to make known to you his incomparably awesome power that is at work in you who believe. Notice the Apostle Paul is saying, you Ephesian Christians, I pray for you. I pray that God will open up the understanding of your heart to the truths that he has revealed to us. So we can pray for one another that we might be enlightened and taught by the Holy Spirit the great truths that are revealed for us in his word. But in addition to being prayed for, we should also do our own praying. And we see this verse here. This should look familiar, right, to 40 Day in the Word participants. Even if your group just met last night, this is your newly assigned memory verse for your next session, all right? So let's all read this out loud together, work on our memory verse a little bit, all right? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. All right, let's try it again. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Again, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Again, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Again, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Just one more time, please. Just one more time. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. What a great prayer. Amen? I mean, Lord, I am about to listen to the sermon. I'm about to study a Sunday school lesson. Our life group is about to meet. I'm about to open your word and have my devotions. Lord, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And so by praying, we can have our eyes opened to more and more scripture. But also, we can cultivate a heart that can be easily illumined, easily enlightened, a heart that is predisposed to receiving truth from God. And what would that look like? Well, Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, there's not too many human beings that don't have ears. And so he's saying, I want you not only to listen with your physical ears, I want you to listen to the ears of your heart, so to speak. I want you to listen with your heart. And it is very possible. James said, don't be hearers of the word only, but also doers. See, it is very possible that we can just hear the word, but not really receive it with our hearts. And Jesus is saying, receive it with your heart. In Revelation 2 and 3, there's those seven letters that he wrote to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Letters of commendation and condemnation. Good points and bad points about each church. And then he concluded every one of those with these words. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so it takes a certain ear, a certain disposition of heart in order to hear. There's this children's rhyme, and there's a couple versions of this, but this one illustrates my point perfectly. Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the great queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what saw you there? I saw a wee mouse under a chair. I mean, here the pussycat is going to the capital of the English Empire and is going to have an audience with its most prestigious person. And what is the cat focused on? The cat is focused on a wee little mouse under the chair. You see, what's in our hearts is what grabs our attention. And so sometimes we go to the Word of God, and what's in our hearts is, Lord, I'm just looking for a vitamin pill that's going to give me something to excite me about this new day, a devotional tidbit. Sometimes we go to the Word, and we're looking for that principle of living that is going to help us to improve the quality of our earthly lives, our finances, or our family life, or our relationships, or whatever. Sometimes we go to the Word and we've got our doctrinal pet peeves. Oh, this was a great day of devotions in the Word of God. I found another verse to substantiate my doctrinal pet peeve. We see that wee little mouse under the throne. Sometimes we look for historical details. Like, we just see the Bible as a big puzzle, and we just want to get it all to fit together, and that's our intrigue, and that's what we're looking for. Some people are titillated by matching the prophetic information of Scripture to today's news and headlines, and that's what they love to see. And so we go in with our hearts, but what we should want to see is not what we want to see, but what God wants us to see. Because all things were created by Him and for Him. And He has a purpose for our lives. And in order to be in tune with that purpose of our lives, in order to follow that compass that Pastor Neil has been speaking to us about, you know, we need to have hearts that are predisposed toward wanting what God wants us to get out of the Word, not what we want to get out of the Word. Otherwise, we're just looking at the wee little mouse and missing the glory of the King. So what does a right heart look like? Well, I mean, what did Jesus say? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Seeking is something that we do intentionally, right? You deliberately set out to look for something. There's some resolve of the will involved in it. And sometimes people come to church and say, I didn't get anything out of it. Or sometimes people open up their Bibles and say, when I open my Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Well, there could be several reasons for that. It could be that you just don't know the principles of how to interpret the Word of God, and Pastor Neil will be addressing some of those next week. It could be that you're not relying on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach you. I mean, but it could be that you're just not seeking, because Jesus said, seek and you will find. And Jeremiah, in his prophecy, the Lord said, you will seek for me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So if we're all out for God, we're going to see what God wants us to see. That's part of the predisposition of the heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And look at what the psalmist said. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He doesn't teach the know-it-all. The know-it-all isn't open to the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. It's the person who realizes how much they need to be taught yet by God. That is the person that is humble, that he will teach them his way. And then look at this prayer for illumination, for enlightenment. And be thankful that this isn't the one that we had to memorize. It says, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. In other words, God, I'm about to open your word. And before I do, I just want you to know that whatever you tell me, I am going to do. I'm going to respond to your word in that way. That's the person, according to Psalm 119, that is going to experience the enlightenment, the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit in a higher degree than that which takes place automatically for believers. I mean, Christina Davidson, she teaches piano lessons. Now, who do you think of her students is going to get more out of the lesson? Would it be the person that's pounding the piano, kind of thinking to themselves, I'm just doing this because mom and dad make me do it, ding, ding. Or is it going to be the person that's, you know, like, I want to be the next Van Cliburn. You know, I want to be the next great pianist. Or even someone that says, I want to be really good at this. I mean, you can see that predisposition affects how much can be taught to a person. And so it is with the Word of God. And so some illumination will happen automatically, but there will be an increased degree of going to the Word of God and actually, with the ministry of the Holy Spirit right next to me, taking these things and helping me understand the meaning and helping me to see what God wants me to see out of this and helping me to see how this applies to my daily life. It's something for which we as believers can praise God for. It's something that we can pray to Him for. And it could be that you're among a number of individuals that might be wondering, have I ever been born again? Have I got the Holy Spirit living in me? Does this teacher even reside with me? And I know that Pastor Neil or Pastor Ken or myself would be extremely privileged to dialogue over that matter with you because it will make all the difference in the world. We'll invite the worship team to come up at this time and we'll close our service with just a really great song that goes along with this. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I can see you, Jesus, so that I can see you in all your glory.